Ben Scales, thank you so much for coming. It's nice to meet you finally.
Oh, likewise.
So you're making your second run for district attorney here in Buncombe County. A little bit of a different run. We were talking just before we started recording about how this run so far has been different for you. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. Last time, 4 years ago, I ran as an independent. I had to get signatures to get on the ballot. I got nearly 10,000 signatures to get my name on the ballot as an unaffiliated candidate. From then, I had to run basically on my own against a candidate that was sponsored and funded by the Democratic Party.
And I guess fundraising probably was a big issue during that campaign. I
mean, absolutely.
Did that take up a lot of your time?
Well, it sure did.
Yeah.
I wasn't very good at it. I never have been good at asking people for money. It was a challenge, but I'm learning, and I've got people that are guiding me now that I didn't have before. Mm-hmm. I've got a great campaign manager named Ashley McDermott. Has run much bigger campaigns before, and she was willing to jump in and help me. I filed, as you know, at the very end of the filing period, so we're kind of building everything from scratch, but we've got a machine that's rolling pretty well now.
And you received 38% of the vote in the 2014 race, and that was despite having the party label next to your name. So are you more optimistic this time? Do you think you've got a good shot?
I really do. The ballot this time has just two names on it, and it's my name and my opponent's, and there's no labels at all. It's just the two names. And in some precincts, it's the very first race on the ballot. Mm. Every 16 years, we have an election where there's no statewide race. So turnout could be low. I'm hoping to turn out a lot of people. That if it's a high turnout race, I feel like I'm going to win.
And tell me a little bit about your background. You're a defense attorney. You've been practicing for a long time. And you've been in the Asheville area for a long time as well.
Relatively speaking, I have been here for 16 years, longer than some, but not nearly as long as others. Mm. I have been practicing mainly in the areas of criminal defense and entertainment law. And I do... my criminal defense practice is focused on marijuana cases, and I travel all over the state defending people that are accused of violating that prohibition.
Okay, yeah. So I noticed that was a big focus of your work. Why did you get into that area?
Well, when I moved to Asheville, it was right after I had been successful in a very big case overseas. I lived on the island of Saipan for 10 years. And
where's that?
Saipan is in the Western Pacific. It's in the same chain of islands as Guam.
Oh, okay.
So we would fly in and out of Guam. And I went over there in 1993 to clerk for the federal judge there. It's a U.S. Commonwealth.
I see.
After my clerkship was up, I ended up working on this big case. It was the probate of the estate of Larry Hillbloom, who was the founder of DHL. And I represented a young baby who was whose mother claimed that Mr. Hillbloom was the father. And we eventually proved that he was, and were able to win for her a share of his estate, a significant share. And that case it allowed me the freedom to not have to work very hard anymore for a while.
Yeah, right.
So for about 10 years, my wife and I focused almost exclusively on building a home and raising our kids. Mm-hmm. And when it came time to go back to work, I was intrigued by the criminal law. I liked the parts of it that I did when I was working in the federal court system. But at the same time, I was hesitant to represent real criminals. I didn't really want to represent murderers and rapists and robbers. I have the utmost respect for those attorneys who do that work. Mm-hmm. But I felt that I could do the same basic work representing people that were accused of what a law that I deemed to be unjust. And so in that regard, I'm able to pull out all the tricks and try to get people acquitted. Mm-hmm. Or get charges dismissed. But I haven't helped someone who's hurt anybody.
Sleep at night.
That's basically what it is. Mm-hmm. And then I had been resisting entertainment law for a long time. I'm a musician. Mm-hmm. And I kind of didn't want to mix those two. But the more musicians I got to meet, they and other artists, I got to realize that it's a really treacherous business world that they have to deal with. And I felt that I had a calling to help them in that regard as well.
Mm-hmm. What made you want to run for district attorney the first time and I guess the second time?
Well, the first time I was motivated to run against the then incumbent Ron Moore. And I started my run, laying the groundwork for it before Mr. Williams entered the primary to run against him as a Democrat. I kept going with that because I didn't think he was going to win. Once he did win the primary, I just felt that I could do a better job than him. 3.5 years later, I have looked at what he's done, and I still believe that I can do a better job. Mm-hmm. I believe that the people of Buncombe County deserve a true progressive in that office, and I believe that I can bring that vision to the office.
I see. So you think Todd Williams not really a true progressive?
I don't think he's enacted progressive programs. Mm. I wouldn't pretend to know what he believes personally, and he plays his cards pretty close to the vest, so it's kind of hard to tell exactly what his personal beliefs are, but I haven't seen from him what I would like to see in regards to real criminal justice reform.
I see. So you'd like to see him kind of shaking things up, making some changes, or you wish he had over
his tenure. I feel like there's been a real breakdown of trust between the district attorney's office and law enforcement. Also, within the courthouse, there's just a lack of leadership that should be coming from the DA's office that I'm not seeing in the day-to-day. I mean, most people have no idea what's going on in the courthouse. They don't know what the DA does. They don't know whether the DA is doing a good job or not. And I'm here to tell you that the people that work in that courthouse will tell you that he's not doing a good job. Mm-hmm. And they are the people that have urged me to continue this run. The most glaring example is the Johnny Rush case. Here he had the exact same evidence that he ended up charging him with. He had that evidence 6 months before. For some reason, he didn't act on it. And the only reason he did act on it is because the video was released and there was massive public outcry and outrage. We were already sitting in a very tenuous place in our community. There's already, we're way more segregated, I believe, as a city than we should be. And I believe that a district attorney who had handled that case properly would have had a great platform to heal and unite the community. And I believe he missed that opportunity. And by missing it as badly as he did, he further deepened that divide. I'm dismayed that we're still arguing about these types of issues. And I wish it hadn't taken a leak of a video to get him to act.
Now, I know that he's responded to that by saying that he was not able to act because there was an investigation going on. At least that's what I saw in some of the previous reporting from the Citizen Times. What do you say to that?
There wasn't another investigation going on. If he had been following the best practices that are put out by the National Association of District Attorneys and the State Association of District Attorneys, then he would have immediately called for the State Bureau of Investigation, the SBI, to come in and conduct an investigation, and he didn't. By the time that call was finally made, the SBI said it was too late, that the case was stale, the facts were stale. So there wasn't any investigation into Mr. Hickman's behavior. Mm-hmm. There was apparently some investigation into Mr. Rush's behavior, and the DA saw enough in that video to dismiss the charges against Mr. Rush, but didn't take the next step and say, well, why did this fight happen? Why was Mr. Rush so bloodied? So by not taking that step, by not actually initiating that investigation, I mean, there's a couple of ways he could have gone. One, he could have called the SBI, which is probably what he should have done. But if he wasn't going to do that, he's got investigators that work for him, that he eventually used one of those to file the charges that he did file. But he could have started an investigation himself, which would have been independent from the police. I think it's putting an unfair burden on the police to expect them to police themselves. It's one of the reasons our system is set up the way it is, that we have a district attorney that is separate from the police, that prosecutes those crimes, and is able to have a fresh set of eyes looking at things.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if this is an easy question to answer because I don't know. But you had mentioned how, you know, people don't really understand what the DA does, so they don't know how to measure the DA's performance.
Right.
I wondered if you could kind of give, like, without getting too into the weeds, like kind of an overview of You know, what are those things where, you know, you hear people saying there's a lack of leadership? What are the things that you're referring to beyond the Rush case, which is, of course, our glaring example right now of things that we're looking at?
Right. A couple of things. One, there's right now a backlog of certain cases that have built up because the attorneys that are handling the cases aren't either moving them to trial or giving plea offers that are acceptable. A lot of the plea offers that are coming out are plead guilty to everything. And that's an easy one to say no to, because you're getting the same result as if you went to trial. So you might as well go to trial, which trials are expensive and they're risky. And they're a lot of times the result of a failure to communicate effectively between the parties. So when those kind of cases back up, justice gets delayed, and justice delayed is justice denied. My policy in the office would be to have plea offers at the bottom or below the sentencing guidelines, so that defendants and their attorneys will have to think really long and hard about turning those down. Mm. Because I think that too many times what we have is police or the district attorney will overcharge a case and then hope to negotiate it back down. I wouldn't do that. What I would do is I'm going to charge the case that I know that I can prove, and I will make a plea offer that's less than that, but I'm not going to be playing games with charges to try to extract a plea. I just don't think that's fair to the defendant.
Mm, okay.
Or to the victim. I mean, the victims in this case and victims' families have been dragged through the mud and extended arguments on cases that, for example, the Jason Owens case, the family of Zeb Quinn had to sit through a long hearing that was basically a personal spat between the district attorney and Mr. Devereaux and Miss Jane, the defendant's attorneys. Mm. The judge sat through a couple days of hearings. The family was there this whole time, and it was. And in the end, the judge denied the DA's motions because they were baseless. And that type of mishandling of the case harms the victims.
Mm-hmm. Well, you had mentioned in your previous work that you were able to represent people who you felt weren't guilty of major crimes or horrible things. By being the district attorney, would you then be in an uncomfortable position in some cases of having to do things like that?
Not really.
Not really.
Okay. Not really, because my philosophy would be that, I mean, I would be putting somebody like me out of work. If I'm DA, there won't be anybody that will be able to make a living just representing people that are accused of violating the marijuana prohibition, because I wouldn't prosecute any adult for simple possession of marijuana, no matter how much weight. Mm-hmm. If it's for personal use, it's none of our business, and it's not a valid use of my limited prosecutorial resources to prosecute that case. And the same with cultivation. If somebody is growing a plant in their yard for their own personal use, I'm not going to prosecute that case.
Well, that raises an interesting question. I assume that some people would say, then you're kind of determining the law.
I hear that.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the nature of the office. The office has incredible prosecutorial discretion to choose the priorities that the office follows. And what I want to do is target the crimes that matter most. I want to target murder, rape, and robbery. I also want to target criminals who are right now getting away with their crimes. And these are corporations such as Duke Energy. I know they're a sponsor, but Purdue Pharma, the CTS Corporation. There was so much fraud and concealment that went behind the scenes in that case. And these environmental crimes, the local prosecutor has the sole prosecutorial authority. So when a DA doesn't follow those cases, it could be said that they're making law themselves, but they're not. I mean, it all comes down to a question of priorities. And I don't believe that the people of Buncombe County want to prosecute adults for possession of a plant.
Mm-hmm. We could use Duke Energy as an example. But so if, I mean, I guess I don't really know how it works either that well, but I haven't seen, maybe it's because of Todd Williams' priorities or something, but I haven't seen a lot of litigation being brought against Duke, at least from Buncombe County.
None.
Do you think that there should be?
And I think there should be investigations.
I see.
I think that if you've got radium in drinking water, that it's likely that there is a criminal act that led to that. And if it's not the act of putting the poison in the water, it could be in the fraud and the concealment of that. So there's a whole lot of layers to the onion to be peeled, but it's an area that I would be focusing my attention on.
I see. So that would be an area that a county district attorney could take on.
Absolutely.
I see. Okay. Interesting. So you would try to focus away from kind of like more petty crime and stuff.
Exactly.
And more that serious crime and like big corporations.
Right, I'm going to be focused on public safety.
Mm-hmm.
And public safety is not advanced by hassling otherwise law-abiding citizens who are engaged in an activity that doesn't hurt anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be my lodestar, if you will. My benchmark is going to be, is somebody being hurt? And if nobody's being hurt, then I'm not going to prosecute it. But if anybody is being hurt, I'm going to prosecute it regardless of who's doing the hurting.
Mm-hmm. And how is your background in marijuana and entertainment law and representing those clients help prepare you for this coming job?
Well, I've had plenty of trial experience, and I've had plenty of leadership experience. I've been working with nonprofit organizations here in town, such as the Preservation Society. I'm immediate past president and current treasurer of that organization. I've led the parent-teacher organization at Isaac Dixon Elementary. I've founded a bunch of nonprofits. It's more of an administrative job, but I believe that you need somebody in that role who has a personality that is that of a leader. And sadly, I just don't think Mr. Williams is up to that job.
Okay, I see. When you're not running for DA, what do you like to do in your free time?
I love playing music.
Yeah.
I have a regular gig that I play at a bed and breakfast in Montfort. I've been playing it for about 14 years now.
Okay. What instruments do you play?
I play guitar and dobro.
Oh, okay.
Mainly. I have a group of guys that I play with, guys and gals. It varies. They come and go. We call our band the Cat Dragons because we never know who the cat is going to drag in. And this last week I had Don Lewis and Aaron Woody Wood and Rob Parks and Drew Matlich. Your listeners may know some of those names, as they're some of the finest pickers in town. So from 6 to 7, I've been doing that every Saturday night, entertaining the guests at the inn. I also coach baseball. I'm coaching Little League this year, North Asheville Little League. I coach basketball. I'm a big brother to a young man at Asheville Middle School. It's been a great experience being a mentor to him.
How long have you been doing that?
I've been his big brother for about a year now.
Okay, that's cool.
And before that, I was his coach. Coached him in basketball, and we were doing a lot of work with him, and it just made sense for me to step into that role as big brother.
So you do a lot of work with young people, it sounds like.
I do. Yeah. I do. I have three kids myself. My two oldest are in prep school in New Hampshire at Phillips Exeter Academy.
Oh, yeah.
On scholarship. There's no way I could afford to send them there.
Oh.
And my youngest is at Asheville Middle School. He's in sixth grade. But for 12 years, I was an Isaac Dixon dad. Like I said, I did two terms as president, and I was chair of the playground committee when we built the playground there.
Oh yeah, and they're all excited about you running?
I think so.
Yeah.
I have some strong support there amongst several of the teachers, and I also have support among some middle school teachers, some high school teachers. I've got support elsewhere as well.
Well, Ben Scales, it's nice to meet you. Is there anything Likewise. That we didn't hit that you think we should?
My website is scalesforda.com. We also have a Facebook page that's Scales for DA, and there's plenty of information out there about me, and I'm real easy to find too. You can send me a message through Facebook or through my website, and I'd love to meet with you. We're doing meet and greets all over the county, and if you go to the website, you can find out where they are and when they are, and come ask me a question. I'm learning every time when we do one of these things. Just what is important to the people of Buncombe County and how I can help heal and unite in this community, because that's what I want to do. I want to be the progressive voice for the district attorney's office.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Ben Scales. I appreciate it.
Thank you.